Hey, we're on a series of lessons on Sunday morning called Blessed. Hopefully you are getting some information and some revelation from the series of lessons. Really enjoying teaching it, hearing good reports from all of us. Many people grabbing a hold and understanding what God's Word and His will is for their lives. And again today, trust that the Word of God is going to be imparted to you and you're going to receive it. Amen. Come on, the entrance of the Word gives light and it gives understanding and revelation. So when we come to church, we just say, Lord, I'm going to receive what you have for me. I'm open this morning. How many people are open this morning? I know you are. I know you are. We want to talk specifically for the next several minutes, really, about this blessing and concerning our families. I want to center on for a few minutes this morning talking about our families and how we can incorporate this thing called the blessing and living a blessed life. And you know, if it's going to work, I'm a real simple kind of guy. If it's going to work, it's got to work for me. And not just talking about the person over there. It's got to work for me. I got to see it working in my family. I got to see it working specifically in my life, because I don't want some, you know, ethereal thing out here, some cloud thing you can't quite grasp or can't make it real to yourself. It's got to be real practical and got to be working in your life personally. And I believe today I'm going to share some real simple things for your life, but some things that are real simple sometimes we just don't do. I think sometimes, you know, if you want to go on a diet or you're looking to, you know, maybe get your body in shape, let's say, and there's so much information on the internet, and so you go and you search out all these things, or you go to the club and you go to the gym and you see this super trim guy or the super trim chick, and you kind of go, dear God, you just make me just, I want to puke on you. You're disgusting. How am I ever going to look like that? And then they take you to, Dominic's the bodybuilder. Dominic looks like he just walked out of a magazine. I mean, if you follow Dominic on Facebook, look out, man. He's off, like last week, he's posting, he's deadlifting 525 pounds. Come on, somebody. And I'm lifting 135 and I'm getting hurt. Come on down low. And so Dominic's a freak of nature back there. But anyway, we love him. But you go to, like, you know, you go to the health food store and you kind of go, I'm just lost. And you go to the Nutris play, whatever, all the protein stuff, and you go, gosh, there's whey and there's no whey and there's come on, somebody. And you go, what do I do? And I don't know what. So I'm going to go home and buy some cookies and ice cream. Come on, somebody. Anybody have been there? I'm going to pray this helps me. I'm feeling depressed. So I'm just real practical, and so we're going to get real, real, real practical today, but spiritual as well. We want to talk just about releasing the blessing, and so for some of you that know the Bible a little bit more maybe than some others, but we all can kind of grow today. In Genesis 49, there's a story that details Jacob. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's the grandson of Abraham, and this we talked about this from Genesis chapter 12, that God called Abraham, and he gave him a direction. He said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to make you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to do things in your life you can't be done by yourself. You follow me, you follow my word, follow my precepts and my direction for your life. I'm going to make you into something you're not. I'm going to show you where to go, and I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing. And it wasn't just for Jacob, we found, but it was for his children and for his really spiritual children, which we all are in the room. We found out from Galatians chapter 3 that how God blessed Abraham is exactly how God's going to bless you. Isn't that good news? How he took care of him is exactly how he's going to take care of you. Well, we find that Abraham's got a grandson, and his name is Jacob. And so Genesis 49 details on how Jacob got all his 12 sons together, and he begins releasing a prophetic word and a prophetic picture over their lives. And the word, if you read it in Genesis 49, is for 12 sons, and so we don't want to take time to read the account for all 12 sons. But again, you note takers, just read it if you would. And you could read it before you go to bed tonight. It won't take you but a few moments. But he says a specific word for all 12 sons, which I think is very interesting. And you know what's something I found interesting is that the son that got the longest prophetic word for him and for the future generations, the son that got the longest word was the son that went through the most hell, Joseph. Interesting. The son that got the longest prophetic word. So listen, let me just kind of encourage you a little bit this morning. If you've been going through some storms and you've been going through some difficulty, you've been going through some crazy challenges, can I tell you what God's got in store for you? A long prophetic word. Come on, somebody. Come on, God, blessing for you. Come on, blessing for you. Blessing for you. So if you'll just direct your antenna, I guess they still do this, you see these huge antennas that were on, you know, back in the day, and come on, anybody remember back in the day when we get Christian Broadcasting with those big antennas on top of your house, those big dishes, and woo, sometimes they'd move, woo, and they'd try to find a new satellite. So come on right now, you need to get your antenna dish of your heart directed toward the blessing of God. Come on, let it be directed toward God, not directed toward what's not happening in your life, not working in your life, what someone said that criticized you in your life, somebody's damning you in your life, things are going bad in your life. Don't get your heart, don't get it directed toward that. Come on, just direct your heart towards God and His blessing and the Word of God in your life, and you'll start seeing God show up. So Joseph was that guy. The Bible says when he's in prison, the prison keeper just gave all the prisoners into his care because whatever he did prospered. And everywhere he's at, he's just, his heart, his antenna, the dish of his life isn't directed to jail. It isn't directed to circumstance. It isn't directed to fear. And isn't directed to my family sold me. And it isn't directed to I've been hurt and I've been abused and I've got shackles in my life and I'm not eating enough food. And his heart was always directed toward God. And when the dish of his life is directed toward God, we see God blessing him. So come on, you can be going through hell, but hell doesn't have to be in you. You can be living in hell, but that life doesn't have to be working in you. You can have something different called the blessing. Come on, somebody say the blessing. So after he gets done with all of his children, it says this in Genesis 49:28. Notice this, Genesis 49:28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Now these sons were going to be made into tribes, and they were going to go into the land of promise, and they were going to take territory, and they were going to multiply. And this was a nation, not only, of course, Abraham and his son Isaac and Jacob. Now these were going to be the tribes that were still in Israel unto that day. And it says, these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. He spoke to them. Notice this now. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Notice those last words. He blessed them, each one according to his own blessing. Now, what I find interesting about the Bible is that you know, the Bible was written by Moses. The first five books of the Bible, let me say, were written by Moses, called the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And Moses wrote this under the direct inspiration of God. And so we find that God wanted Moses to write, and we've got it in our Bible in Genesis, about how God just didn't say, you know, Jacob got the 12 sons together and Jacob just blessed them. It says exactly what he blessed them. It says in details the word specifically that he gave them. And it is for a specific purpose. It was for each of those 12 sons, and it was for future generations as well, that we could see how God is always thinking generationally. So let me encourage you, parents. Let me encourage you, spouses. Let me even encourage you, single people today. What God does, He's just not trying to do it just for you, but He's trying to do something in your life that will catapult your life and your family and the future generations that you're going to have in your life. He wants it blessed. Come on, somebody. He wants it well. He wants it successful. He wants you prosperous. He wants you healthy. He wants you strong. He wants you serving God. Not only you, but your kids and your grandkids as well. And so you need to contend for that. You need to believe that. You need to pray that. You need to, anything that comes against that, you need to stand against it. And you need to make those walls come down so that the blessing of God can have impact and work in your life. But not just about you, but for your spouse, for your kids, and your grandkids as well. Notice several different translations on the screen real quick. It says he gave each of them his special blessing. This is Jacob. He gave each of those 12 sons his special blessing. Another translation. He blessed each one with an appropriate message. Notice that. An appropriate message. Another translation. He's blessing each one with a blessing that suited each son. I want you just to see this. It wasn't just this generic, all the 12 kids get together, and he looked at all the 12 kids, and he said something like this, I bless y'all. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He got all the 12 sons together, and there was time, and there was hearing from God, if you will, and there was an unction or a prophetic word and a picture that God had placed on Jacob's heart, and he got his sons together, and he released that blessing. It was a spoken word, so don't miss it today. The blessing is always coming through your mouth. It's released through your mouth, the blessing. And it was a special blessing. An appropriate message, a blessing that suited each son. So notice on the screen, just as we talk for a moment, just for families and all of us, because there's challenges that happen in all of our families, and it's real easy for all of us to look at situations and not agree with the Bible, not agree with God, and we start saying things that are contrary to God. I've done it, and I'm ashamed to say it. I don't want to do it anymore. I want my mouth arrested if I'm going to say something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, because I believe death and life are in the power of my tongue. And I believe words are capsules, and you should too, that words contain the power to plant the seed that you are speaking of, either good or bad, life or death. Blessing or cursing, they can release somebody. Your words can encourage and release, and you can speak a word of blessing, and you can see the shell that's on someone's life just open up and them start blossoming. Or else you can speak words of damnation and criticism and judgment and bitterness and hate, if you will, and it will just cause somebody to shrivel up. You've got the power, and God, help us in our houses. Help us with our spouses. Help us with our children. Jacob gave a specific word, an appropriate word, a blessing to each son individually. So just notice on the screen, we've already talked about it. Each of your kids isn't supposed to be exactly like the others. It's real interesting to in the dynamic of a family. When we see kids that are maybe real given to academics, sons or daughters that are real given to sports or real given to relationally, real given socially, others that are emotionally just strong on the inside and got it just have confidence. And then to see another child that doesn't have it and we wind up pitting them against each other. Can I tell you, when it comes to the family, you need to celebrate the differences, not have it a place of competition. One thing that we knew, we've got four kids, two boys and two girls, and boy, girl, it's pretty cool. And when our eldest was born, and Michael, boy, we could just see early on, this kid was going to have challenges in school. He was just not super, super smart and didn't want to apply himself. I mean, he was smart. He just didn't want to apply himself. When it came to math, he just kind of struggled through some math. And then maybe with Brittany. Brittany didn't do that. Her daughter, 18 months apart, didn't do it. But we didn't want to compete. We didn't want a competition with them. And so maybe, let's say, I don't remember all the details, but maybe Michael would bring home a C in math. And for Michael bringing home a C in math, we celebrated that like Brittany getting an A in math. Because that was amazing. He got a C. He didn't fail. Praise the Lord. Come on, how many know that's a praise the Lord sometime, parents? So let me just encourage you. There's a blessing that you can release that maybe unknowingly you don't release because we try to compare our kids with one another. Can I tell you, you're going to have probably a neat child in the house, and you're going to have some messy kids in the house. You're going to have some that are given to academics, and you're going to have some that you just got to drag them through academics. But if you as parents will continually speak and release blessing over their life, that will enable your children to find the way of profitability that God's graced them in. Otherwise, I'm ashamed to say in my life, I've released a curse by what I've said. And so I would go back and have to dig up that seed and struggle sometimes with repentance, not with me not wanting to repent, but with me believing that my words would not have impact in my kids' lives. And forgive me for saying that. I'm sorry. I said it out of anger. I said it out of frustration as a dad, and I don't want to do that. I want to be a better dad, because I realize that this blessing paints a prophetic picture as we speak God's word over our lives. So let me encourage you, continually speak words that are going to lift your kids, that are going to release your kids. Speak words that are going to impart the word of God to your kids. Speak words that are going to encourage your kids. Speak words that are going to strengthen your kids. And of course, how about this happens, first of all, with our spouse? And again, like we've said, it's so easy to say what you see. It's so easy. It's so easy to say what you see at the house. The people that love you the most, and you're close to them, and yet we get frustrated so many times. I wonder, like Jacob. I wonder Jacob, as he's there and he's got his 12 kids around him and he's prophesying. I wonder if there's sometimes he's going, I don't know if that's really going to happen. Look at this kid. This kid can't hardly, get out of his own way. But he releases and speaks words of blessing that are recorded in the Word of God. But I just don't want to say what I see, because again, like we've said many times, that's the curse working. That's something in the flesh working. That's something natural that's born in sin working in their lives. And why do I want to agree with that? I would encourage your parents, I would encourage your spouses, when it comes to our relationships at the house, don't do that. Say what God says. Come on, you agree with that? Say what God says. Not what you see, not what you feel, not in the heat of the moment. God, put a watch over my mouth. Put a watch. Jacob's, the book of Genesis details a chapter later or so, chapter 48. It says earlier, I guess, that Jacob's an old man and he's dying, and he's blessed and going to be blessed in his 12 sons, and he's got one son that Joseph, who again he's his grandsons that Joseph has had married an Egyptian woman in from Pharaoh's daughter, and he's got a couple of boys named Ephraim and Manasseh, and Jacob says, hey, come on, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So Jacob he gets his son and says, hey, bring your son. I want to bless my grandsons. And so Joseph understands all this, and dad, or the boy's grandpa's dying, and so Manasseh, Ephraim, come on, we're going to go to grandpa, and grandpa's going to pronounce a blessing on your life, and this is going to unlock some things, this is going to unleash some things, this is going to reveal some things. So the Bible says this. Check it out in Genesis chapter 48, verse 13. Then he, Joseph, positioned the two boys, his two boys, in front of Jacob. Now get the picture. Come on, work with me. You got a picture of this in your mind. Joseph, we got old grandpa. He's dying. He's in a chair and he's got his little blanket around him. And so Joseph gets his two boys to right in front of him. And notice what it says. He gets the older with his right hand. He directs the older son, Ephraim, towards Jacob's left hand, and with his left hand, he put Manasseh in front of Jacob's right hand. Notice this. So Joseph says, I'm going to get the older son to be right in front of Jacob's right hand. So I'm going to position him so that when daddy is sitting, daddy puts his hand of power. In the Bible, the right hand is always the symbol of God's power. I'm going to put the right hand on the older son and the left hand on the younger son. The older son will always get more of the blessing in the Old Testament. You can read it all throughout it. He's going to get more of the power. He's going to get more of the anointing. He's going to get more of the grace and the call of God. So I'm going to I'm going to get my older son and put him at his right hand. And so he did what he did naturally. But how many know God's going to do something different here? Verse 14, but Jacob crossed his arms when he went to lay hands on the boys' heads. And he put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. All of Joseph's, we could say, shucking and jiving and conniving to get the boys positioned right. And Jacob just switches his arms and says, the younger is going to be greater than the elder. There's a blessing for the elder, but the younger is going to be more prominent. Parents, I can't stress it enough. Your children are not created equal. Called of God, blessed of God, heirs of God. Everything God has for them in the death, burial, and resurrection is absolutely 100% unequivocally equal to each child. But the individual grace and call and bent on their life is totally different. You must know that. You must recognize that. You must speak to that, and you must release that in their lives. Can you say amen? How do you do it? We've talked about it already. How do you do it? Number one, with words you speak from God's word. How do I do that, Pastor Gary? I don't know what to do. When you're reading the word of God, you'll read certain things in the word of God, and it's like, I'm just going to say this right over my children. I'm going to say that the peace of God surrounds them and mounts up over their heart and mind. So I'm going to release a prophetic blessing over my kids' life that lines up and speaks directly from God's word. I call my kids saved. I call them delivered. I call them healed. I call them prospered. I call them blessed. Come on, everybody. I call them full of hope. Come on. The angels of God surround them, protect them, deliver them. They're always in the right place at the right time. Never in the wrong place at the wrong time. I see that from the word, and I just release that word that I'm reading in God's word. Secondly, that we words that we speak that are prophetic words that God shows you, that you realize. And like I used to say, example, in the first service, Brittany had a friend that was in town. In fact, it's Pastor Mark and Trina's Hankins' right-hand kind of assistant, and she was in town for this weekend. And so Brittany and Darcy were out all hanging around San Diego, and they were running around all day yesterday, and they came home, and Taylor, little 11-month-old baby, right? And so Brittany's got Taylor, and so Taylor, you know, she comes in the house. When she comes in the house, I want to see her, right? So she comes in the house, and she reaches out to me, and I reach out to her. And about to reach out to her, I went, oh, my Lord God, this girl's got something, you know, down here. Come on, something. Come on. As soon as she got close enough, I went, woo, cool, come on, Jesus, help me, Lord, here. Kind of cleaned you out right there in a minute. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And so I did like any good grandpa did. I grabbed hold of her and kept her at arm's length, and I gave her right back to her mama. And I said, bring her here when she's all cleaned up. what are you saying? I'm saying words that you speak prophetically as God shows you, that your kids come home, your spouse comes home, and you go, something's different. Something's just different. Honey, you okay? What happened? Oh, yeah, everything's cool, like any good man will say. Everything's cool. And you as a wife go, everything ain't cool. Everything ain't cool. Okay, God, if he ain't going to show me, you show me. Come on, wives, going to get an amen? Or parents, you go, hey, kids, how's it going at school? What's going on? What's up with your friends? What's happening? What happened at school today? Oh, everything's fine. And they go to the room, they shut the door, and you don't see them till supper. And you go, man, something's going on, what is it? And God drops a word in your spirit that you need to speak, not think about, not pray about, not wonder, is that God? I wonder if I... That's God talking to you, spirit to spirit, that you now need to speak to whatever is coming against your spouse and or your children. You don't need to be big drama about it. You don't need to go to them and say, I see you got a spirit on your life. How many of you know that's going to drive somebody away from you? Yeah, yeah. But I would say that there have been many, many times in our lives that as our kids have gone to school, come on, Pastor Kimber and I would go into some bedrooms and we do the Jericho March. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Come on, you know what I'm talking about, the Jericho March? I'm talking about, you know, Joshua chapter 6. You go in Jericho and the walls are coming down. You march around that room 6-7 times and you command the stuff that's going on in your kid's life to be broken and to come down. And the life of God and the light of God and the hope of God. Come on, help me in here. And the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God is going to return to our kids. Our kids are going to find God and follow God. And they're going to serve God. And we're not going to let walls be built up in their life against us and against the purpose of God. They got to come down. They got to come down. And so we would get in rooms and we would just start prophesying. We lay hands on beds and come on, I believe the anointing of God come on. I'm old school. I don't know what school. I'm old school. Get in there and lay hands on the bed and command the anointing of God in the sheets. And when they're laying in the bed, the Holy Ghost is going to get on. Conviction is going to come on them. Come on. They're going to come to their senses. Come on. They're going to have God dreams on this pillow tonight. I'm not going to stand for this. No, I'm not going to stand for anything not the will of God working. No, the Word of God, the will of God is going to work in their life. And so I'm going to release the blessing of prophetic word and declaration. And then I'm going to be spitting all over their beds when I'm prophesying. Like I'm doing right now. So what do you... Practical. So I say things. You say things from God's Word. From God's Word. You read God's Word. You release that. You release that. And then you speak prophetic words that God gives to you. That specifically. And then thirdly, with your spouse, with your kids, come on, lay your hands on them. Get your hands on your kids. Get your hands on your spouse. Not in a negative way. We're not talking about discipline. We're talking about in a loving way. And so you know, like in our house, you know, just like you got kids, and our kids are almost, you know, the youngest is 19 and moving towards 20 and college and all that. And so everybody's got different schedules, and it's like don't be leaving the house till you bring it in here. That's kind of our talk at the house. You bring it in here. And we embrace, and we kiss, and many, many times we try to pray and release blessing over their lives. But many people, even adults, even marriages, spouses leave and people leave, and we don't even embrace, we don't kiss, we don't hug, we don't release something. If something happens, the doctrine of the church, Hebrews 6 says, happens when we lay hands. A doctrine of the church. Laying hands. It's a doctrine, a teaching. Anointing of God flows. I believe when I lay my hands on my spouse, something from God is being transmitted. I believe when I lay my hands on my kids, I'll be able to discern things that maybe I haven't been able to discern before. I'll be able to release something that they need at that moment. So can I tell you, get your hands on your kids. Get your hands on your grandkids, if at all possible. A couple weeks ago, we had a child dedication. And, of course, the symbolism is phenomenal, that Jesus grabbed the kids up in his arms and he blessed them. I don't think Jesus grabbed the kids and went, "I bless you." I don't think that's what he did. He grabbed his kids in his arms and he pronounced, because we read it in the Old Testament, he pronounced a prophetic blessing over their lives. How many of you know, if I don't know about you, but if Jesus was in Nazareth, I'm bringing my kids to him every day. Hey, anybody heard Jesus? Where's Jesus? I'm bringing my kids to Jesus. They're going crazy over here at the house. Because, come on, he's going to pronounce a prophetic blessing over their life. That's what you can do. You got the power. Come on, you got Jesus in you, right? Come on, you got Jesus in you. So we're not going to say what we see. We're not going to say what we feel. We're not going to say what it looks like. We're not going to pronounce a curse over the life. We're going to release a blessing. Come on, somebody say a blessing. A blessing, a blessing, a blessing. So it's really interesting. Deuteronomy 33, don't turn there, but it just says this. Centuries later, it's written here in Deuteronomy 33 that Moses actually records and talks about these tribes too. And Moses talks about very similar, the same blessing that Jacob gave to these sons. That Moses now is saying the same thing. What's that mean? Is that just because you've released a blessing, and we talk about this lots of times, that There was an old school prophet named Dick Mills who came to our church lots of times up in Canada, and he was with us here a time or two. And he lived to 88, I think, and he died, went to heaven a couple years ago. And it's interesting that he would come to the church, and he very unique prophetic guy. He wouldn't say just something like out of the blue. He would prophesy to you from scriptures. He'd say like, Genesis 14:3 says da da da, and Psalm 107 da 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 says this, and they would all line up. I mean, it was amazing the accuracy. He just had all that word in him, and he'd release it through his words of blessing. Well, the first time he ever gave me a word, ever prophesied to me, people would write it down on a little card, and I kept it. And you know, about 4 or 5 years later, he came to me and he gave me another word. Do you know that it was almost word for word the same word he gave me 5 years ago? And then about 15 years later, he was around and I was in the meeting, and he gave me the same word again 15 years later from the second time we were together. It was just amazing. What does that mean? Is that, was God kind of like, you know, did he just remember me? He was in thousands and thousands of churches. He didn't remember me from Adam. What's God saying? The word that I spoke to you in 1980 is still working in 2016. Come on, everybody. So don't think that God forgot about you. Don't think that, God stirred me up in this word back, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and so I wonder if that'll work in my life now. Yes! Stir it up! Come on, am I talking to the right crowd today? Come on, stir it up! Let's stir it up. So when it comes into the house, just, I can't say it enough, just, we need to constantly be speaking and blessing and releasing the Word of God, the prophetic Word of God, and laying our hands on one another. Don't let it. That's not a church thing. That's a you thing at the house. That's a you thing at the house. Now, when it comes to, let's just talk to husbands just a second. And it's not just for husbands. It's written to husbands, but I really believe it goes both ways. In Ephesians 5:26, notice what it says. Really interesting. Talks about the husband's role, and he says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with washing of the water by the word. It's a picture twofold of a husband and a wife relationship, and about how Christ does the church is what it says. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. It's really interesting how a husband treats his wife, how a husband speaks to his wife, but also how Christ treats and speaks to the church. It says two things, that he might sanctify. Sanctify means this, to set apart from one thing and to bring it to another thing. To sanctify, I'm setting it apart from one thing and bringing it to another thing. And to cleanse. Cleanse means this. Cleanse means to free from sin or faults. So the Bible says that by the words you speak, you can sanctify, you can set apart your spouse, specifically your spouse, but also for your children or for anybody else. You can set them apart from something that you see is contaminating, hurting, damning their life, negative, critical, it's bad in their life, and maybe they don't even recognize it, maybe they can't see it, maybe they're hurting, maybe they're frustrated, maybe they're depressed, and they can't get out, but you can see it. You can see it. Come on, you're close enough. You can see it. So you don't keep them in that situation. You don't leave them to themselves in that situation. You don't say, handle it for yourself in that situation. No, you sanctify them by your words of blessing and release. And you bring them from that place towards God. And so I release you from that. I call you blessed. I call you full of peace. I call you full of joy. I cause darkness to leave you. The light of God is going to shine in your life. Come on, you come against the tactics of the enemy and you bring them from that and you sanctify them so that they're holy and they can think right and they can see and vision's restored and life is given again and they can be who God's called them to be because you chose to release the blessing of God. Wow. And you cleanse them. My God. You cleanse them. You can't free somebody from their sin and fault. You can't do it. You're not God. Your blood doesn't mean anything. But you cleanse them. by bringing them under the blood of Jesus. By remembering what He did for them. And you free them. That's how you bless your spouse or your kids. So we don't just leave them. We just don't let them do whatever they want to do and think whatever they want to think. Sometimes you can't do it in front of them. Maybe they're not ready. Maybe they're not there. But you are required to do this. Real practical. Numbers chapter 6. Look at this. Number 6. Real practical. Notice what it says here. God didn't leave this to chance. So what do we say? What do we say? I believe this might have been something that Jesus said to those kids as he grabbed them in his arms. Numbers 6:22. Notice what it says. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron. Aaron's the high priest and Aaron's son, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel.'" Here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to do it. Not just once. Here's what we're going to do all the time. Here's how we're going to bless them. This is the format. This is exactly what we're going to do. It's not going to get old. It's not going to get stale. Because if you'll put your spirit into it, you'll realize the power of these words. Say to them. Notice that. Say that with me. Say to them. Come on, say it out loud. Say to them. So how are you going to bless your spouse or kids? Come on, one more time. You're going to do what? You're going to say to them. You're going to say this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Don't miss verse 27. So they shall put My name, God talking, they shall put My name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Come on, somebody say, I will bless them. Come on, say it like you mean it. I will bless them. Come on, can you imagine God saying, here's how I'm going to get My name put on them, stamped on them. Come on, I'm talking about some ink on them. Ink is tattoo. Thank you for old people working with me. I'm going to tattoo you with My name. Speak, saying, the blessing. Notice three things. The Lord bless you and keep you. Number one, the Lord bless you and keep you. This means the Lord is going to speak well of you. The Lord is not going to condemn you. The Lord is not going to criticize you. The Lord is not here to judge you. All judgment has been put on Jesus Christ when you make Him Lord of your life. So you are never living under the judgment. You are never living under the wrath of God. You're never living separated from God. The Lord will bless you. And it says, and He will keep you. The word keep here means He will provide for you and protect you. Come on, isn't that good news? He's going to provide. So we release that. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. I never have to wonder, are angels going to surround me and protect me? I never have to wonder, is God going to bring something negative in my life? Have I done something wrong? God's going to kill me. God's going to change my life early. And oh God, and sometimes He's good and sometimes He's bad and you just never know. Shut up. The Lord bless you. Come on, somebody. You don't say that when you sneeze. You say it all the time. The Lord bless you and the Lord's going to keep you. Sure He is. Come on, I'm spitting better than y'all amen in this morning. Let me tell you. I know I am. I'm getting dry up here. Let me tell you. Number two, the Lord will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. What's that mean? What's that mean? That means the favor of the Lord on your life. Come on, somebody shout favor. Favor. Wow. What's favor do when you look in the Old Testament? Our New Testament word to be grace. But favor brings promotion. Favor brings restoration. Favor brings prosperity. Favor brings open doors. Favor brings granted benefits. Things happen to you and for you just because of God's favor. So when the scripture says the Lord's going to make His face shine upon you, He's going to be gracious to you, you can just get up every day and go, everywhere I go, come on, I'm surrounded with favor. Favor. Come on. Psalm 5:12. Favor guards me like a shield. Everywhere I go, I just got favor. I just got favor. Come on. If anybody's going to be blessed, I'm going to be blessed. Everybody can say that. Why? Because you're God's favorite. He favored you. Come on. Come on, somebody. He favored you. He favored you. So if anybody's getting a deal, I'm getting a deal. I'm getting a deal. It might not look like it all the time, but I'm still going to believe the favor of God. The Lord's blessing me. His face is shining on me. He's gracious to me. He's never not gracious. He's always gracious. Thirdly, it says that the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Really interesting. That phrase, lift up His countenance, is a sense of God's smile, is what it actually means in the Hebrew. A sense of God's smile. Come on, think with me. Parents, you ever go in your kid's room when they're small and just look at them breathing? And you're just going like that. And then they wake up and you go, dear God, they're up again, right? No. Come on. Come on, I'm just playing. Sorta just playing. But come on, you get it. You look at it going, my God, they're amazing. They're amazing. Come on. God's doing that for you. You're amazing. Look at you go. Look at you stand. Come on, look at you overcome. Come on, somebody. Look what you're doing. You're still here. Everybody thought you quit. You thought you quit before, but look at you're still here. Wow. He's smiling. And the Hebrew word, it says, you know, Lord lifts up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The word for peace is a crazy word in the Hebrew. Y'all know it. It's called shalom, right? Shalom. It's a blessing that the Hebrew people, the Jewish people give each other all the time. Look at the screen real quick. The Hebrew word for peace, it means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, tranquility, and it can be used to mean hello and can be used to mean goodbye. So listen, from the time you get up to the time you put your head in the bed at night, shalom, baby. It's well with you, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Come on, it's going well with you. It's going good for you. There's tranquility, there's harmony between you and God. Come on, everybody. Come on, it's all good between you and God. Amazing. When you read Luke chapter 24, come on, just work with me for a few more minutes. You read Luke chapter 24, verse 50. Jesus has already gone to the cross. Jesus has gone and suffered and died under the earth. He's been raised up and He's been seen by several people. This is the last thing, guys. Luke 24, this is the last thing He's getting ready to check out. He's already been alive for 40 days on the earth after the resurrection, talking to the people, showing signs and wonders, it says in Acts 1. And this is it. This is the last hurrah right here. And it says in Luke 24:50, He led these disciples out as far as Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Check it out. The last thing Jesus does, He lifts up His hands. And He doesn't go, I just don't know if you guys are going to make it or not. You guys are sure disappointed me. No one was hanging around with me at the cross. Y'all left me and deserted me. That's sometimes we would say, wouldn't we? Where were y'all but the losers? Saying what we feel. Saying what we see. Saying what somebody did. But not Jesus. And we ain't doing it no more, are we? He lifts up His hands. And He blessed them. Wow. 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 Just get the picture. Get the picture. Those hands had scars, had holes. And He didn't go, doggone it, man, you guys really hurt me. Man, you weren't even there. Man, wow, yeah, still all messed up. No, resurrected King, Jesus, last thing He does, He blesses them. He releases a prophetic word over their life. So can I tell you, if Jesus could do it, you could do it. So I'm hurting. I'm not quite certain about some stuff. I'm a little bit agitated about some stuff. But I'm going to make sure that when it comes to my spouse, when it comes to my kids, my grandkids, when it comes to my work environment, when it comes to church and the people around me, I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless. Real quick. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk, NIV says, come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with other form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 29 is pretty amazing. Don't let any unwholesome word talk come out of your mouth. Any. How many of that's going to take you all day to be doing that? This scripture, verse 29, needs to be embedded on our hearts and minds forever. Because he says, the only thing you need to be speaking is that which is helpful. Notice this, for the building others up according to their needs. So there it is again. There it is again. The needs of my spouse or the needs of each of my children aren't the same. So I've got to make sure that I am listening to God and I'm alone with God and I'm constantly just, you know, in the right place to hear from God so that I am going to be able to release the blessing that they need. Real practically, just as we're closing here, real practical. How's this thing work? How's this work? Well, I look at our body, or excuse me, I look at our makeup, I should say, our being, as the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, that we're spirit, soul, and body. So let me just talk about those three areas on how I believe that we can release this thing called the blessing for spirit, soul, and for body. For your spouse, for your kids, for your grandkids, for the people that you love, and it's just not in those realms. It can be anybody else as well, of course, included. But when it comes to this thing called the spirit of man, that you would speak and release and say to your spouse, maybe in their presence, maybe not, with your children, maybe not in their presence. You pray, you release it specifically, spiritually over their life, that they would find and follow and fulfill and finish the will of God for their lives. That they'd be saved, that they'd serve God, that they'd be a heart that'd be on fire and devoted and under the conviction of God. Not condemning, but under the conviction of God, that they need God in their lives. That they'd serve God, that they'd find purpose and meaning, not in just education, not in sports, not in relationships, not in sexual exploits, but that they find real meaning through knowing God and knowing Him only. That God, and seeing what God says about them in the Word, and then releasing that and calling them and saying exactly what God says. They're blessed, they're chosen, they're redeemed, they're rescued, they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So saying that, releasing that blessing over their lives and releasing them to be full of the grace of God, that the grace of God and the call of God in their life is holding them and they can't escape it and they can't run from it. Saying that, not saying what you see, because, man, it's so easy to do that. But that's unwholesome. That's the curse coming out of my mouth. And I don't want that seed working in my kids or my spouse or the people that I love. And I'm convinced your kids can go to a great university. Your kids can be on the all-star traveling team. And your kids can go to hell. So parents, let me encourage you, grandparents, the first thing your family needs is Jesus. And there's ways to do that. There's parents that do that. I'm not saying if your kids are in sports or playing in the band or whatever. And I'm just saying the priority of our lives and what we do to make sure that Jesus is involved in our families. Spiritually, soulishly, our next being of our lives is our soul. So again, what do we do? We know when kids come home and all of a sudden, you know, their mind, will, emotions, their intellect, we want them renewed to God's word, renewed to God's will, renewed to God's plan. And so again, you got your spouse that comes home and you just know something's going on. They're being agitated. They're being disturbed at work. There's something against them. You maybe can't put your finger on it. Maybe they won't open up. Maybe, you know, come on, like the regular man thing. Hey, honey, how was your day? With the men, what do we say, men? Awesome, great, right? And your wife's going, and you go, really awesome. Maybe we don't open up enough, but you know, and stuff. But at the house, you know, as a wife, and of course as a spouses together with kids, that we see stuff, and we just go, you know, something's going on with the kids, or something's going on. And so we're gonna come against them. We're gonna command the thoughts that are being bombarded against their life to come down. We're gonna take those thoughts captive and make those thoughts obey Christ, and we're gonna release the Word of God over their lives. You do that. How about your bodies? I don't believe that we just need to let our bodies grow old, grow slow, grow tired, grow weak, and grow deficient. I don't believe that. I don't see that plan in the Bible. Fight that. Fight that in your mind. Fight that anti-Christ thought. That the older I get, the weaker I get. The older I get, the slower I get. The older I get, the sicker I get. The older I get, the more diseased I get. Fight that anti-Christ thought. That is not the blessing. The blessing is you grow old in days and you die well. And you just sit around in your little rocking chair or wherever you're at, and all of a sudden you just go, I think I'm done. Click, out of here. Come on, change the channel. I think I'm ready to go see Jesus. Click, out. Ready. Come on, everybody. I believe that's God's. I believe we can have that. So you got to fight for that. So when it comes to our bodies, we got to command them to be healthy and strong. We got to prophesy to every weakness, every deficiency, every hereditary thing that goes on that you can see. You can see it. I can see it. I see what happened in uncles and aunts and grandpas and grandmas and in the family tree. But you got to say, I got a new tree in my life called the tree of life. Jesus in his life is working in me. So I'm going to prophesy that and release that over my spouse and release that over my kids and my grandkids. Man, you guys listen real good and I spit way too much today. Come on, let me just wind down here. A crazy story in the book of Chronicles. And we find ourselves like in this kind of place all the time. Regularly, I should say. Not all the time, but regularly. And Jehoshaphat, he's a good guy. He's a king. And he wakes up one morning and the armies, all these armies surrounding him. Surrounding him. And just like you and me. Just like you and me. It's like I said in the first service, so I might as well say it in this service. You wake up and you go, what the hell is going on? Where'd this come from? What's happened in my family here? Where did that attack? What door? And all this self stuff that we go through. Can I tell you why the enemy's out surrounding you and trying to come against you? Because he hates you. Because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. And you are God's man and woman on the earth to rule and reign and to push him out and let God's light shine. And you're doing it. He hates you. He hates you. He hates you. Jehoshaphat is hated. He's taking territory for God. He's letting a light shine through him. And he wakes up and there's the enemy. And yet in the middle of all that, listen, in the middle of all that, he does what he's supposed to do. He starts praying. Come on, somebody. Starts seeking God. He starts fasting and a prophet rises up and stands, says, hey, we got this covered. Just stand still and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get the praise and worship dudes and we're going to get them out there. The enemies surround us. We're going to go out there with worship and praise. And that's a key for you. Come on, that's a key for you. Just don't let praise and worship be happening in your life on a Sunday morning. And make sure when you're here, you don't sit here with all your teeth in your mouth without moving your lips. Worship and lift something and say something out of your mouth and release blessing back to God and watch what God pours out in your life. And so Jehoshaphat sends out the praise and worship guys and the Bible says when they came to the place where all the enemy was, lined out like ants, they were all killed. They killed each other. They killed each other. And Jehoshaphat and the guys go out there and they gathered all the spoils. The Bible says it took them 4 days. Come on, how many of those enemy were brought all that stuff? Come on, they were bringing microwaves, dragging them out. They're bringing their refrigerators. Come on, somebody. Come on, work with me. Come on, work with me. Work with me. They were 4 days bringing it all back to the kingdom. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says they named that valley the Valley of Blessing. They called it the Valley of Blessing. Before they got there, I'm sure their heart was beating. I'm sure they had mouths were just cotton mouth. God, what are you going to do? God, I don't know what you're going to do. How did this situation get here? I don't know how you're going to turn this thing around. But the valley that was dark and full of the enemy became a valley of blessing. Come on, bow your head. Would you do it right there? Right now, I just really sense again for us today. The enemy's always drawing you into battle and trying to get you to say what you see and say what you feel. Trying to never get you positioned to the valley of blessing. Let me ask you today, what have you been saying? Have you been saying what you're seeing and feeling? Saying what your emotions are saying? What do you need to be saying to your spouse? Maybe you can't do it to their face. Maybe you just got to do it in the car, praying to God. I'm saying this. Well, your kids, what do you need to be saying? Have you been speaking cursing? Just things that are doubtful and fearful and worried? Or have you been releasing God's purpose, God's prophetic picture, the blessing? Right there where you're at this morning, God's with you. He's never leaving you, never forsaking you. He's in your rising up, He's in your going down. He knows everything about you. But when you see your life right now, do you see that God could change it to a valley of blessing? You need to see that. You need to see that. It's going to happen as you take the Word of God and you believe for a prophetic word, a now word, a God word concerning maybe your own life if you're a single person, spouse, children. Get your hands on your family. I just want to pray for you, honey. I just want to pray for you. Husband, let's get the kids together. We're gonna lay hands on our kids. When you do that, the valley that's dark, the valley that's sorrowful, the valley that's full of pain is going to change to a valley of blessing. Bodies are going to change. Thinking's going to change. Their spirits are going to become alive to God. Because you're releasing the very living Word of God. The same Word that created the universe and the worlds. You're releasing the Word of God. And the Bible says it's impossible for His Word to come back to Him void or inoperative or without power. It's going to come back to Him with the desired result. So, Father, I thank You today that every person in the room would be greatly, greatly encouraged to boldly stand and stay in a position of standing on the authority of Your Word and not relinquishing any territory to the enemy. In our minds, in our wills, our emotions, in our words, in our expectation, because we believe that the blessing is working in our lives. We thank You for it. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, did you get something this morning? Come on, everybody, stand up. Would you do that? Our prayer partners are going to be up here right now. We always give you an opportunity to pray with one of our prayer partners.